This podcast is brought to you by...
Shall we begin?
In today's high-tech, fast-paced world, you need a wonderful website to promote your business. You have a vision of how you want it to look, but you need someone with the skills to design it. Isn't it comforting to know that David Webb Designs not only has the experience to create a professional site, but he's ready and willing to listen to your ideas and suggestions? He'll work with you every step of the way, until you're happy with the final design. That's davidwebdesigns.com. Don't just dream about the perfect website. Get it with davidwebdesigns.com.
Let's unstrap your bra, draw the bath, and get ready to get unleashed. Liz Stone.
I know it's your first time. I'll be gentle, I promise.
Don't put it in there, though. It'll hurt.
David Allen.
I think I can probably keep it up that long.
You're a young man. You can keep it up. I was like, what the hell? How about the picture of her with an avocado on her? I think we're going to have fun together, you and me, aren't we?
Now you're getting in the mood for Unleashed.
Coming back to you with more energy than ever. Well, hello there. I am Liz Stone with my guest, David Allen, and you're tuned into Unleashed, and we're going to tell you that getting into your box is a good thing. We are with Dr. Yvonne. She is the founder of both Healed for Real, Healing and Deliverance Conference, and Sister Keeper International Ministry Crusade. But one of the reasons we're talking to her, or the main reason we're talking to Dr. Yvonne tonight, is because she is one of the sexperts who helps couples with intimacy issues on the breakout hit on WeTV, Sex Box. So welcome to the show, Dr. Yvonne.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. The doctor is in.
The doctor is in, that's right. We all need your help, Dr. Yvonne, because, you know, people don't seem to have a handle on their sex lives, and we're coming to you for help and advice. How about that?
Okay. I hope I have a lot of answers for you today, then.
So what's the secret to a good relationship? I mean, what you've seen so far with the couples you've been working with on Sex Box.
Well, basically, as a pastor and doing what I do, and I do have a degree in counseling as well, so I've been counseling couples a long time. One of the main points that I believe that couples must have is proper communication, because no matter what happens within a relationship, you must know how to communicate that. And one of the areas where a lot of couples, unfortunately, do not know how to communicate, and that is in their sex life. One may be satisfied and the other may be not. And so it causes a breakdown within the relationship, especially in bedroom if the sex is not being satisfied by both.
Well, okay, let's talk about that now. Let's back up a little bit. What I've seen so far from the show Sex Box, so you're telling me the couples literally go into this box and they have sex live on TV, although it's a soundproof room. Can you elaborate on what actually happens on the show for people that have never seen it, that aren't aware of it?
Yes, and I think that for most people, they're thinking that when you hear couples are coming on and they're having sex, you know, live on a stage before an audience. As you said, the couples come on, they talk to myself and two other doctors pre-box, and they talk to us about their issues, their relationships, and actually what brought them to the show in the area of sex. And they talk to us for a few minutes, and then they go inside the box, which is soundproof, camera-free, and they're intimate within the box. Once they're finished, they come out, and then they discuss with us, you know, how the act was in the box, and then we see if we can help them once they get home to apply those things, and hopefully they will. And so, yes, a lot of people may not have heard about it, but it's we're now in our third episode. And so, yes, that's the setup of Sex Box.
Now, Dr. Yvonne, I got to ask you a question, and I'm not being funny here. This is a serious question.
Okay.
I do not perform very well under pressure. So for me, knowing that there's an audience out there, you know, that they can't hear or see anything, I get that. But is there like music that plays or something like kind of pushes them along? Okay, guys, you've been in there for 2 hours now. We gotta move here. We got a show we're doing.
Actually not. And believe it or not, the couples are told to go inside the box. There were some couples that have, because their time is actually monitored on the set. So you'll see once the couple come out, it is noted on the show how long they were in the box. Some was in the box an hour and a half, some an hour, some 45 minutes, some 30 minutes. I think the quickest time, I believe, was 12 minutes
I thought I was
and
bad.
So,
but
yeah, so you'll see that it varies. And we sit there and we talked and talked and talked and we waited. But, of course, you know, the time of us talking was edited down. But many of the couples stayed in the box as long. We gave them as long as they needed to.
And this is all because after they're done with the sex act, 15 minutes after sex, people are able to open up more and be more honest with each other. Why is that?
Well, because of the oxytocin levels that's released during intimacy and during sex. It's the cuddle hormone. It causes us to, and studies have proven this, to open up more to your partner and to be more open and honest about your relationship. And so I must say that the proof is really in sitting and watching those couples go into that box, pre-box, and then to see them talk to us after they come out of the box. And the outcome of the conversations that they've had with us has really been phenomenal. I think it's really surprised a lot of people because it's not just about sex. It's about the couples opening up and getting to the bottom of their issues in their relationship.
Yeah, it's a very unique idea because, as you said, you're a therapist as well, correct? So
yes.
You have a license and you practice this. And, it's not your conventional sit on a couch and tell me your problems. I mean, this is literally taking it over the line and saying, you know, like, this wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. And I think it's very unique because it just excites me because it's so funny seeing these people go into a box and have sex and come out and just open up to you. It's just so strange. I watched the second episode with the lesbian couple. That was very intriguing to me.
Okay, I knew that that was going to be, because for me as a pastor, and I really didn't know, because for me, even the way that I deal with couples, even the way I minister in the pulpit when I'm actually ministering a sermon, I really just try to be led by, you know, my heart and by the Spirit, and I really didn't know what I would say to the couple, but I after watching it and being a part of that moment, I think that it not only just helped that couple, that I believe opened up a discussion for many people around the country of, you know, to how to deal with it, how to talk to people. And as I said to them, the bottom line is we must love all people and treat everyone with respect. And that was even they told me that they were shocked that I said that to them because they didn't expect that coming from me.
But why is that, though? Do the pastors have really a bad rep for the gay people, to be honest with you? I never understood that.
Well, I think not only the gay community, but sex, period, is taboo. I mean,
True. Sex
just for me as a pastor, and I've always been open and honest to talk to people about it, simply because I believe that if we as pastors don't talk about issues that people within our churches and in our community are going through, then how are we helping them? How are we giving them really the advice that leadership should give? And so I've never been afraid or ashamed to talk about real issues. And so that is one of the areas that I believe that churches should do more talking about, because this is what's happening. This is life.
And that's absolutely correct. I mean, we both, Liz and I both went to Catholic schools, and I remember going to a Catholic school, and I don't think it really is based on religion in general, but just going to a Catholic school, it was never talked about. I don't, Liz, was it talked about your Catholic school?
Well, I mean, somebody must have been talking about it somewhere. How else were people knocking out 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 kids?
Well,
that's
but believe it or not, the people that I talk to, the women as well as men that I talk to within the church, no one really talked to them about it. They just had to figure it out. And yet, because it's so taboo, then it caused some women to suppress their desires to want more because they've been taught that to be sexual is to be nasty, which is not true.
Oh, my. My mother,
so,
I will never forget, rest her soul, when she was still living. Sorry. She didn't even know what an orgasm was. She had 10 kids. And she says, what the heck? What's that? What's a clitoris? What's an orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
They just laid there and just I'm sorry to be so. I mean, I guess we're. Let's pretend we're in all three of us are in the sex box right now, in our own virtual sex box.
And, just between us girls.
Just between us girls. she had watched. She was living during the time where, the Flintstones were still in their single beds. You couldn't even have cartoon characters in bed together. Okay, so as time progressed and there was talk shows where people were opening up and really verbalizing things, she was appalled. There was a talk show where a woman was talking about how she needed to find ways to achieve orgasm. And mother goes, "That's just disgusting. Women aren't supposed to have pleasure like that. And what is it? What is that anyway?" I'm like, "And you had 10 kids. What am I missing here?" I'm scratching my head, a little confused. That's all.
But believe it or not, even in the century we're living in now, I get the same thing that many women were taught. You know, if you're going to be a lady, you shouldn't do certain things and you should act a certain way. And yet we have people that are living their lives miserable and not being able to be fully excited and happy within, you know, their marriage. And so from that, I have really tried my best to be open and talk on those various issues and hopefully chill down that wall, because we shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about it. God created sex, and he created it not just to be fruitful, but I think he created it to be fun, because if he didn't create it to be fun first, nobody would really be fruitful. So the earth would have been without people. So he knew we better make this, I better create this thing to be fun and exciting, and that's what it really is about. And so,
right, what's the best form of birth control? A screaming baby and a loaded diaper works every time.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Oh,
so, Dr. Yvonne, let's talk about you for a little bit. You're on the show Sex Box. How long have you been doing your profession? I mean, you seem very good at it. So how long have you been doing this?
I have been in full-time ministry and traveling around the country for 17 years.
Wow.
I was a high school teacher / dean. And I did that. I worked in the school system for 13 years. And I've been married for 30 years. And so I tell most people that most of my advice come from me being married 30 years. My husband, he has really given me a lot of good information because he's still alive.
Wow, that's
such
awesome.
As
you have to read between that little line to understand that.
Well, what kind of
you
advice?
Guys, you missed it.
Yeah, what kind of advice does your husband give you? I'm curious.
Because there are certain things. You know, I've always been transparent within my marriage, even as a pastor, and even before we started pastoring, even before I started in ministry. Marriage is very, very difficult. And so you really go through a lot of things to kind of, if you're going to make it work. And so I made a whole lot of mistakes, and I've done a whole lot of crazy things trying to figure out marriage because no one was talking about it. No one tell you how to do it. And so we kind of just kind of took this roller coaster of marriage together. And it was some very difficult years. And now that we're 30 years later, we're on the good road, and two children and three grandchildren later, we're on a good road, but the road has not always been good. And so for me, I decided to take the dark days and the valleys and the pitfalls that I experienced in my own marriage, and I'd use those pitfalls and things and teach others how not to fall in those same holes.
Wow. That's outstanding. Now, Dr. Yvonne, I've heard the success, this, to be a successful marriage, you have to have two bedrooms and two bathrooms. Is that true?
No, that's not true. You just have to figure, you have to decide. Now, there are some couples that seems to work for them. I am one of those who believe you need to stay in the same bed. That's where you're bonding. You know, I love that part. But
right.
But I never will tell anybody to do exactly what someone else did. You have to figure out what works for your relationship, and that's what you do. Never pattern your relationship after someone else, because then you'll wind up miserable. You have to find that happy medium for whatever works with your relationship and your relationship only, and that comes with proper communication and being open and honest and saying, "Listen, I don't like what you just did last night. That didn't feel comfortable for me. Let's try this tonight." And so when people are given that door to say, be honest, about how you feel. If you don't like something, say it. If you enjoyed it, say I enjoyed it. But never just settle.
That's interesting. And how did you get approached about Sexbox? Like, what was so, like, what was that feeling like when you got that call that, hey, we want you to be on the show?
Actually, I got the call out of the blue. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know they were going to do a show called Sexbox. Believe it or not, I thought I was being punked. I thought somebody was doing a little trick on me, and I'm thinking, okay, there's a camera somewhere, and they want to see my expression. And so I'm like, they're going to do what? In a what? So it was very surprising. It was very, my first, I'm thinking, okay, oh, my goodness. And so I listened more, and then I had the conversation, and then I made a decision that, no, I'm not going to do the show. And then we talked again, and I decided, okay, I'm not going to do the show. Long story short, my husband and my mother, who is 75, and my stepfather and my sons and everybody else that know me, they said, this is really what you're already doing other than the box. You stand up, and we have watched you do this for years, put marriages together. You have canceled people that no one else would. You've dealt with situations that other people were afraid to deal with, and you do it with class, and you do it with excellence and integrity. And so my family was 100% behind it. But, of course, in everything that I've ever done, I've always prayed about it. And I don't know why I'm getting emotional saying that. But I've always prayed about major decisions in my life. And after prayer, the Lord really just told me, this is what he created me to do this, basically. I had a ball doing the show. I enjoyed doing the show, even though many people don't understand why I did it as a pastor. And, yes, I've received a lot of backlash from it, from people who just didn't understand why. And I get their why, but for me, I made the right decision. I made the decision because I knew that my voice and my presence would make a difference, because my voice and my presence has always made a difference, because I'm open, honest, and very sincere about the passion that I know that I have on the inside, and that's helping people. So I winded up saying yes, and I'm still grateful that I did.
So you made the right decision. That's all that matters. I mean, that's the most important thing. What advice do you have for couples just starting out, you know, before they get into a place where there's a lot of trouble? I mean, I think so often people are attracted to each other because it's a physical thing. It's infatuation. They kind of dive head first. Then after a while, there's a bit of buyer's remorse. It's like, oh, my God, I didn't know you were like that. I didn't know that about you. So what can we do to sort of, keep that from going wrong, you know?
Real simple. The one thing that I think that a lot of couples today are really missing, and that is the time to really get to know each other. If they could just take a little bit more time to really get to know the individual before you jump into the relationship, because it's harder to uncommit from something that you've invested a lot of time in, only to decide, okay, you know, maybe this wasn't the right decision. And so give yourself time. You don't have to rush into anything. And so I really now try to. I got married really young, and I would not recommend that to anyone, because I got married. I was still in college. I went to school full time. 3 years into the marriage, we had our first son. And so, and then that also adds a lot of drama. And so when children come in, there's another little something you have to deal with. And so I told people now to really get to know. And we dated for 18 months before we got married. But still, I think I would not get married that young again. If I had to do it all over again, I'd wait until I was 60.
See, I agree, but I also 60. Disagree.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
Either 60 or 90. I would wait.
Wow.
I would wait at least until I was in my 30s or so, because I would definitely finish college first. I just married the wonderful man who took care of my two boys while I continued to still go to college, because I got my bachelor's degree. Then I wanted my master's degree, and he still continued to keep the children while I worked full-time and went to school full-time. And so I just married the right man, but that's kind of still rare. That we just try. I just try to make sure that people know that you're marrying the right person and know that you're committing to the right person, and it'll work, and know that you love each other.
It's so interesting because nowadays I feel like, you know, they do that. I mean, I don't want to call it a victim of that, but I was with a partner for 13 years, and it started out like we just got together and, you know, boom, it was just there. And then 13 years flew by and you're like, holy hell, where did that all go? You know? But I just feel like we're so instant in society. And as Liz touched on earlier, it's a lust. It's like, oh wow, you know, he or she is hot. You know, we definitely want to get in bed with them, but then they get in bed with them and it's like, sex is just so boring. It's at first it's great. And then it just kind of, I think that's what happens with relationships these days. Everybody's expecting too much from sex.
Yes. And very few people learn to love each other when they're not hot. And that's the issue
right.
with a lot of relationships. They think it's just going to be hot sex all of the time. But you have to learn the value of a relationship is not just about sex. Sex definitely enhances the relationship. But if we don't like each other outside of the bed, then we're going to have a whole lot of issues.
Right. And I feel like it also dies down. You know, for the first couple months you're together, it's 7 times a week, and then it dies down to 3, and then eventually it's like once a month. What is a good, healthy relationship? Like, what is a good number of times to have sex in a healthy relationship?
I really don't like to answer that question. I get that question asked all the time. There again, you have to determine that based on the sexual desires of between you and your partner. Because there are some, you know, most of the couples that I counsel within the church, of course, always the men want it 3 and 4 times a day, and the lady said I could deal with it 3 or 4 times a year, and I'm good. And so you have to then meet that. You have to meet a balance with your partner, and that comes with open communication and discussing. Okay, what do you want, and how do you want it? How often do you want it? And that comes with give and take, because sometimes you have to give in. There's sometimes, you know, I travel 3 and 4 times a week, but I have to make sure that I'm still doing and making sure that my husband is happy and satisfied even though I'm traveling. So that comes with the communication to make sure that I'm not ignoring him. And so that when I am away from the home, my marriage is still intact. And so that comes with communicating with your partner, because some people want it 4 times a week, 5 times a week. And to some people that may be, oh, that's a lot. But it may not be a lot for that relationship. So you can't judge that particular relationship and
right.
say it's a lot just because it sounds like a big number to you.
Two words
for
that. Phone sex. What do you think about that?
Did you say phone sex?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just curious what
absolutely.
You think about that.
Absolutely. Phone sex is good.
Wow.
And the older you get, you can wind up doing more phone sex than you have to do anything else, because to do phone sex is right.
As long as your signals don't get crossed. I used to work as a reporter in a newsroom, and this is no lie, sometimes phone lines would come over the police scanner. I would never want that covered.
Oh, that is funny.
Hello. Wait a minute. I'm so
because
confused.
Because even as a pastor, I talk to a lot of couples where one will have an addiction to porn or something like that, and it's interfering within the relationship because the wife has an issue and does not want them watching porn, and the husband is watching porn and not watching her. My advice usually to them is be creative and make your own tape. I've said to the woman, okay, have you asked him then, what is it about porn that turns you on? Well, no, I'm not asking him that, she says. Well, I said, well, then you're not going to get to the bottom of helping him to pull away from the porn then and turn his attention back to you. Ask him, because it may be something that he just doesn't want to ask you to do, and you maybe have to open up that discussion and say, is there something that you want to try with me? And then make your own porn tape so that when the urge for him to come, the urge for him to want to see something, he can then pop out his little video that he made with his wife.
Yeah,
and I told him,
David
as long as the children don't, as long as the children don't see it.
That's right. I just want to hear David Allen's opinion on this, making your own home tape. What do you think about that, David?
Well, I was going to ask Dr. Yvonne, do you think it's healthy in a relationship to like, not be addicted to porn, but to introduce porn into the relationship to kind of keep things going?
I don't think it's healthy. I really don't. And I usually, as you know, of course, as a pastor, I always try to steer couples away from that altogether. I've just seen the damage that it has done to many relationships. However, I have had some couples that will sit in, even in the pastor setting, and say, well, we both enjoy it. And so when a couple tells me that they both enjoy it, I leave that decision up to them as to what they do. But for me personally, the way that I counsel and the way that I advise, I always try to steer them away from that. I just have seen too many couples that their relationship was damaged as a result of it.
And Liz, to answer your question as far as me making a porn, as long as that check clears, I'll do whatever the hell you want me to do.
Okay, this brings me to the next question. Any of your sex box patients talk about fidelity? That's got to be the hot button issue of all time.
Yes, that is probably the number one area, the number one thing that we talk about. And that can just damage a relationship and beyond repair sometimes. Now, have I seen infidelity in a relationship and the relationship survive? Absolutely. Because I personally do not believe that just because there has been infidelity that you have to end the relationship. I believe that with proper counseling and advice and time, because you have to give the relationship time to heal, and then you have to be honest, build that trust again. But with many of the couples that even came on Sexbox, and as well as the couples that I see, infidelity is the number one thing. And you can't mend your relationship alone once the relationship of trust has been broken. You must seek help, and you both must go. I usually try not to speak to just one side. If I'm going to speak to a couple that has gone through that, I'm going to push with everything to get both of them to come see me.
Interesting. Now, I got a question for you. I'm going back to the whole porn issue. Do you believe that porn ruins relationships?
I won't say that it ruins a relationship. I just don't think it's good for a relationship. I won't use the word ruin. For many people that I talk to, I personally don't watch porn. And I know, you know, a lot of people, I personally don't even watch intimate scenes on TV, period, or even on daytime TV. I see more intimate things on daytime TV and on regular things. If I go to the movies, I turn my head. That's just me, personally.
Wow.
And I've always been that way. But when it comes to porn and introducing certain things, I try to steer the couples away from that, and I'll tell you why I do that, because I've had to counsel so many women who say, I don't think that I was the woman in his bed. I think I was the woman in his head.
Interesting.
Wow.
And so trust, I have had to walk so many through that, because you don't want to be the woman of his fantasy. You want to be the woman of his heart. And so you want to know that you're the one that they are with, and not not just the person that they're being relieved with. And so that's what I think that it becomes an issue with. So I always tell couples, if you're going to introduce this into your relationship, you have to really have a strong relationship. And then if you do, it must be with agreement among the two of you. Whatever, and my advice is that way for anything. If you're going to introduce sex toys, if you're going to introduce a new position, it must be with the agreement of you both. We're both in agreement to try something new.
Now, one more question about this topic.
It's a forced pleasure. Go ahead.
One more question about this topic, and we'll move on. What about couples who do porn together? not so much like privately, but also like online, who post the stuff online. What do you think about those types of relationships?
Well, I personally think that that's not healthy. However, if that is something that they both want to do, I would then walk them through to make sure that, first of all, let me back up. I try my best to get couples not to post anything on social media, online, or anything like that, because you hope and you pray that you're going to stay together forever, and you hope, you know, once you put stuff out there like that, then it's there on that. So you have to be careful if you're going to reveal all of you in
right.
that way.
It's impossible to get rid of, too.
Right. So, but if couples, and we had a case where it hasn't come up yet, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but there is a couple that we did speak to on the show that had this same issue of actually posting stuff and pictures and all that, you know, and videos. And so it didn't go
over too
well.
And I'm sure it was one-sided, right? You know, it was the male or female at the one side of the relationship posting.
It was one-sided. It was one-sided.
Right. And that's not healthy, obviously.
That's not healthy at all.
Interesting.
It's not healthy at all.
Okay. Let's move on. What's your next question?
I'm in awe. I'm shocked and awe of all the stuff you guys are talking about. I'm just trying to visualize Dr. Yvonne, sweet, sweet Dr. Yvonne. She's looking away when there's intimate scenes on TV. How are you processing the fact that, you know, the people are in that box? I get it. You can't see or hear them. But you know what they're up to. Is it cringeworthy? Are you just going along with it for the sake of the show? Or what's going through your mind?
No. Let me explain how I do this.
Okay.
I travel for a living. I travel and speak at conferences around the country. And I'm in a hotel room probably 3 and 4 times a week. So it's like I'm next door in a hotel room. I'm in my room and they're in their room.
Oh, okay.
And something could be going on next door. Now, I don't sit there and say, I wonder what they're doing next door.
Okay.
I don't put my ear to the and try to listen.
I get that. Oh, no, I get that. But they're on a stage. Come on. Let's, in all
they're
fairness.
They're on the stage. They're on the
in a,
stage.
In a show. Okay.
And in a show. But I believe it or not, my chair is next to the box.
Wow.
I'd begin a little cup to my ear up against it. Terrible.
And I am the only one of the sex experts that did not want to look in the box. I did
not want
to look in the box.
Do you mean there's an option? Whoa, hold up. You have the option of looking into the box?
Yeah, well, you can.
I thought it was
when it's empty, I'm sure, not when it's, you know.
No, Dr. Yvonne, so inquiring minds want to know. You mean these sex experts can actually look and watch as the show's going on, so to speak?
No. I'm talking about before when the episode series was getting ready to start. No
okay.
one in that box, period, while a couple was in the box. No
right.
one. I can't say
who gets the fun. Now, do you have to send a hazmat team in after they're done, or who gets the fun job of? I don't know. I'm visual. Hotels, you got me thinking about hotel maids. God bless the hotel maids, right? I'm sure they've
Correct.
Seen it all. Who
and
gets the fun job of, yeah.
Well, the experts did not have that job. So that was not my job to do that part.
Oh, no. I mean, you heard some juicy tidbits behind the scenes, like who has to deal with that. That's all. I was just curious.
Yeah, there's a team to do that. And, everything was done in professional manner and with excellence, and so I didn't hear any complaints about that at all.
Okay.
And the couples did tell us what was in, you know, they will, and many of them did talk about what was inside the box. There was music, there was toys, there was lubricants, there was creams, there was oil, music, you know, all kinds of things was in the box for them to use if they desired to use it.
Kind of like when you go to a fancy hotel and there's a chocolate on your pillow and some slippers by the bed, except this time, you know, the imagination runs wild, which is good. There you go. They get to live a fantasy. You can't ask for more than that, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, you cannot. That's excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, though, Dr. Yvonne, let's shamelessly promote here. Talk about, you know, where they can find you and what's coming up for Sexbox. Like, where's it going?
Well, Sexbox is on WeTV every Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And they can find it. They need to talk about it. Believe it or not, it has opened up a discussion among many couples. I received a call last night from a person who her and her husband were having a disagreement about something that they saw on the show that they could apply to their own relationship, and they called and said, well, let's get in touch with Dr. Kapar and see if she has an answer for this. And so it has really opened up a discussion probably for many who would not have normally wanted to bring up the issue with their spouses. And so tune into Sexbox each Friday night, and we are on Twitter, and they can find me on Twitter at Yvonne Kapar. And if they send me a question, I'll do my best to answer the question. If I don't know the answer, I'm sure one of the other experts will know the answer. I'm excited about this because I saw the outcome already for many of the couples. And at the end of the series, they're going to hear some wonderful, exciting news. So I'm excited about it already.
That's excellent. And before we go, we have one more thing, too, to ask you. Ask our listeners to go to GetUnleashedProductions.com and confess something to us, something that they need answered. And this week, we handpicked this special confession for you, and Liz is going to read it to you, and I'd like if you would answer it.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Yvonne. Here it is. Okay, this person writes, I was recently told by a friend that my husband had sent her texts of an inappropriate and sexual nature. My husband didn't deny that he sent them and refused to tell me what he sent. This woman is envious of my husband and jealous of our relationship. She often comments about how she'd love to have a man like mine. My concern is he admits he texted her, but I don't understand why. My intuition tells me she told me the truth, but I want to trust my husband. Now I'm suspicious. I always want to check his phone and analyze every aspect of our life and marriage. I feel this has put a huge wedge between us, and I no longer feel the same love and passion for him. Please help. What do I do now? Is my marriage over? Signed, Suspicious in Dubois, Pennsylvania.
Wow. Believe it or not, that comes up a lot, that question. I'm so glad.
Wow.
She asked that question because there are several things that's going on here. She has a major issue with her husband who is refusing to tell her what he texted. That is a major flag. I don't care if he asked the friend, is it sunny outside? Immediately, he should have said what he texted. Not only said what he texted, he should have handed her the phone and showed it to her. Because any window of to hide something opens up the door to suspicion. So why open up a door when you can keep the door locked by simply showing her the text? For the friend, because I don't call her a friend. That's not a friend to say, you know, your husband is this and that. That friendship needs to be severed. If that's the kind of thing that she's saying to you, now you have a friend who's saying that your husband texted her and the husband won't tell you what he texted. So there needs to be a discussion with the husband and distance from the friend.
Interesting. That is very interesting.
Good advice.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. You know, because, I mean, like you said earlier in the show, it's all about communication.
That's coming,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I would tell her on the professional side. Now, as Yvonne, I would tell her to get the phone, see what that text was, and then go from there. Because I'm a firm believer that there should be no secrets between mates. Stuff like that just creates a bunch of drama. There should be no secrets. It will eliminate a lot of headaches and drama if you just keep down the secrecy. No secrecy.
Great advice.
Because the moment she asked what the text was, if he would have showed her what the text was, that would not have sent her mind on a wild goose chase of concern. And so now She's, her mind is going to a place it didn't have to go if it was nothing.
So would you say that this marriage is over, or is there some sort of severance that can be made here?
I won't say that the marriage is over. I would say, I would definitely think that there needs to be a major discussion, probably with a mediator or a counselor, to make sure that it's understood, because right now the foundation of trust has already been broken. Because the moment he said, she says in the question, he did not deny texting her. So the next thing she said, what did you text? And for him to say, I'm not going to tell you, and you, and we're in a partnership, that doesn't work.
No, she better don't.
Right.
There
I
you
guarantee
go.
You if it was flipped the other way and she told him, he would not like that.
Well, I hope that helps you, Du Bois, Pennsylvania. And thank you for writing in. And like I said, everybody, please go to getunleashedproductions.com, click the confession link, and send us all your confessions, because you never know who's going to answer them. Thank you again so much, Dr. Yvonne. We really appreciate your time today. And, stop by anytime.
And thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Excellent. And good luck with the sex box.
Thank you.
You never know who you're going to find in the box next.
That
could be
true.
One of us.
Okay, well, make sure you let me know ahead of time. It was great.
Wow, Liz. My mind is completely blown right now. I don't know whether to think to look inside the box or outside the box at this point.
I think you and I should go in the sex box just for a joke. You know, it's okay.
Oh,
they'll never know what happened in there.
Listen, not unless they have a swing, so it's like.
You want to?
You know.
I think we should. Hey, we'll get some silk pajamas out of the deal. Isn't it worth that? That's worth the trip,
oh,
right?
As long as they're pink.
Oh, okay.
I love pink pajamas. Silky pink pajamas.
I know you
pajamas.
Do, honey. That's right. Let's do it. It'd be sweet.
So, Dr. Yvonne, Sex Box, every Friday night at 7 on WeTV. Oh, wow. Let's shamelessly promote, too. GetUnleashedProductions.com, Facebook and Twitter, GetUnleashed09. And you can hear us where, Liz?
Oh, you can hear us on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm still thinking about Sexbox. Yeah.
iTunes and Stitcher. And we may not be your only one-night stands.
We just want to be the one you remember.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liz. Thank you for another wonderful show. And, we got Rainey Maxwell stepping in the studio right now. So we're going to hand it to her. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you get unleashed. Have a good night.
Have you been hoping for a style expert to help you have a fabulous life? The time has come to add sizzle to your style. With a hearty Here's How moment, it's time for Breenie Maxwell, America's domestic doyen.
Breenie Maxwell here with this week's Hints for Gracious Living. Wax. No other product is so loved and hated. In the guise of candles, it makes our homes glow. And don't even think of entertaining without them. However, those candles are expensive and seem to melt so quickly. And when they do, they create such a vexing mess. Protect your investment by dipping your candles in soap suds, being careful not to saturate the wick, and storing them in the freezer. Instead of blowing, which can broadcast a spray of wax droplets across your table and leave a smoldering wick, put your candles out by using a utensil to dunk the wick in the pool of melted wax. Be sure and straighten it out when the flame is extinguished by snuffing it out with a candle snuffer or using an eyedropper to deposit water into the well of wax below the wick. What do we do about the mess those candles leave behind? Well, first of all, let's talk about some preventative measures, shall we? Lit candles should be kept out of drafts. That's what makes them drip. Place them in areas of still air, not near open windows, fans, or air conditioners. Keep the cleanup time down by using drip guards at the base of your tapers. These inexpensive glass discs will fit over your candle holders and catch those drips before they can wreak havoc with your tabletops. They can be found in a variety of styles and add a nice touch to your table. Your candlesticks, especially the ornate ones, can be a problem to keep clean. There is a simple way to banish the unsightly detritus, however. Place a brown paper bag under your waxy candlestick in your oven and turn it to warm. The wax will melt off and soak into the paper. Polish the candlestick with a soft cloth or paper towel, and the melted wax will cool to a hard protective coating that will ward off tarnish and protect the finish. This can be done with all types of holders, metal, wood, glass. Additionally, you'll find that the paper makes wonderful kindling for your fireplace. Waste not, want not. Wax blobs on furniture and fabrics are not a pleasant prospect to confront. Scraping, when done properly, is the best way to remove colored wax. Harden the wax by putting an ice cube on it and use your fingers for the initial removal. Instead of using a knife or other metal object, try a plastic scraper or spatula or even a charge plate. Finish with a little furniture polish and your surface should be as good as new. White wax presents a much easier problem to solve. Another brown paper bag and your iron will do the trick. Put the bag over the wax, and with the iron at the lowest heat, pass it over the bag. Reposition it until the wax has all been absorbed by the paper. This method can also be used on fabric and carpet. Don't try the iron method with colored wax, however. The dyes are apt to stain. Next week, after all that cleanup, we'll relax in a hot tub. Until then, I'm Brittany Maxwell. Bye now.
Find more from Breeny at BreenyMaxwell.com.
Spinderella cut it up one time.
Understand what we're trying to say, you know?
Oh, but that's a part of life, yeah.
Radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
About sex for now, to the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow. Don't be coy, avoid or make void the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now, talk about sex on the radio and video show. Many will know anything goes. Tell it like it is and how it could be, how it was and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice, pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pat? I doubt it. Alright then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Any man's eyes pop to you, she got to get whatever she don't got. Fellas droop like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearl, rubies, crazy diamonds, nothing she wore was ever common. Her face, heads of state, men of taste, yeah. Lawyers, doctors, no one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The crush she says was next on her list, and believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag. She should have been glad, but she was mad and sad and feeling bad, thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex, followed it with the check and the notes. The last night was so, so.
Take it easy.
What we have here is subject to controversy. A three-letter word, some regard as a courtesy. He may fiend and have a wet dream because he's seen a teen in tight jeans. Well, like that is biological. The chemo getting in those jeans is diabolical. But of course he does it, and she gives him rap. And before you even know it, they jump in the sack. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's like that. But anyway, ready or not, here he comes. And like a dumb son of a gun, oops, he forgot.
got the condom. Hey. Oh, well, you say, what the hell? It's chill. I won't get got. I'm on the pill until the sword pours and stuff pours down your drawers. He gave it to you, and now it's all yours. Yours.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Cinderella cut it up one time.